How much worse can things get for BP?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Bill Radke. It looks like the center of Tropical Storm Alex will miss BP's leaking oil well in the Gulf of Mexico, but the 12-foot waves the storm is likely to bring could hamper oil containment efforts. Not what BP needs. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us live from New York to talk about this tail-spinning company. Hi, Jeremy.
Morning, Bill.
BP has lost more than half of its stock market value. How much worse could things get?
Well, every day this spill goes on, Bill, the estimates are it may be costing BP $250 million. And the company has already said it's spent $2.6 billion on the response. Now, what does this mean for those of us who don't own stock in BP? Well, the New York Fed is now looking into what exposure certain banks have to BP, certain banks, and whether any BP bankruptcy, if that happens, could pose a threat to the entire financial system.
Ugh, this sounds both familiar and a little dramatic, Jeremy. BP, is that intertwined with Wall Street firms?
Well, it's a major player in the energy trading markets, trading physical oil, natural gas, and gasoline, as well as derivatives of those commodities. Now, the Fed, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, has been asking financial firms about their links to BP, and sources are saying that those links don't appear to threaten the system as a whole, but some banks are being more careful now in their trades with BP, and those trades are a sizable part of BP's business. This morning, Bill, a J.P. Morgan analyst wondered whether BP's falling market value may make it a takeover target, though there are questions about who would want to take it over with all of its pending liabilities.
Yes, Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson in New York City. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks, Bill.
This morning, Google said it will stop automatically rerouting users of its China search site to its Hong Kong site. Google's license to do business in China expires tomorrow, and Beijing had been threatening not to renew it. Meanwhile, China and Taiwan signed a trade deal today that Taiwanese officials call the most important development in their relationship in more than 60 years. The deal gives access to each other's markets, but it's also a big political step for China, as the BBC's Chris Hogg in Shanghai reports for Marketplace.
It's not a complete free trade agreement, but it will cut tariffs on more than 800 goods in the months ahead, with more to follow later on. Some analysts believe this could boost two-way trade by up to $100 billion and in Taiwan create more than a quarter of a million jobs. For China, this was more about winning hearts and minds on the island it claims as its own, says Dr. Tao Wang, an economist in Beijing, because there are many people in Taiwan who would like to be completely independent from the mainland.
As far as China is concerned, if the two sides are more economically integrated, if the people from two sides can understand each other more culturally, there will be less support for independence movement.
But not everyone is comfortable with the new arrangements. On Saturday in Taiwan, tens of thousands of opposition supporters rallied against the deal. They fear it will bind the two economies too closely together. And in the long term, that could be dangerous, they say, for Taiwan. In Shanghai, I'm the BBC's Chris Hogg, reporting for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Stocks are down more than 2% in Europe now. Greek public service workers are striking again to protest budget cuts. Asian shares were off more than 2% as well today. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials edged down just 5 points to 10,138.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality.
Congressional overhaul of financial regulations is up in the air because of the death of West Virginia Senator Robert Byrd. His loss means one less Democratic vote, and now Massachusetts Republican Scott Brown is backing away from his support of the bill. One of the criticisms of the financial reform measure has been that it won't prevent the next meltdown. Here to talk about what might cause that meltdown is Henry Blodgett, editor-in-chief of the Business Insider. Good morning.
Good morning.
You are one of those observers who believes that even with these new rules, we are at risk of another global crisis. What might that crisis look like?
I think the reason that people are saying that is that if you took this legislation and you enacted it in 2005, it would not have prevented the crisis that we just had. But hopefully this is just a first step, and we will continue to get more reform over the next couple of years.
Is the biggest danger a crisis that looks similar to the one we just had, or are you seeing other fault lines out there that could be the next problem?
Well, over history, we have gotten actually pretty good at preventing the last crisis. Unfortunately, what happens is the next one will look somewhat different, but it'll be based on the same accumulation of debt which got us into this one.
Okay, so you put your finger on a problem there, debt. Is that all we can really know, maybe all we need to know about the next crisis, is that there should have been limits on debt, on leverage, and there weren't?
The one key component that is similar in just about every financial crisis is too much leverage, and leverage in this case is debt. And my hope is that we will have been so scared by what just happened that we really, it will be many decades before we get into another crisis like that.
But Henry, this legislation creates a new systemic risk council. Why wouldn't that council not be able to prevent systemic risk?
I'll tell you why. For the same reason that the SEC and other regulators completely missed the systemic risk in our system in 2005 to 2007. It was not that nobody on earth saw it. Many economists were screaming from the rooftops. And the problem is that a systemic risk council 10 to 20 years from now will be lulled into the same sort of sense of, well, this is working fine, as all of our regulators were in 2000 to 2005.
Henry Blodgett, editor-in-chief of the Business Insider. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, the New York Times reports Germany's Dusseldorf airport is monitoring its air quality using bees. They let 200,000 bees fly around the airport and then tested their honey for toxins. So far, it's tested so clean, the honey is being bottled and given as gifts under the name Dusseldorf Natural, which is a better gift name than Dusseldorf Toxin Tester. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.